Earlier this year, we told you about cochlear implant surgery here in Chattanooga. On Thursday, Johnson Audiology will present an online seminar for people who have more questions about the procedure. Dr. Megan Johnson is founder and owner of Johnson Audiology. Dr. Madison Sakhan spearheads the cochlear implant program there. And Alan Hunt had implant surgery back in May. Megan, Madison, Alan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us here.
Megan, we should remind folks what cochlear implants do.
A cochlear implant is a surgical implant that can help patients when hearing aids are no longer powerful enough to help them hear better. There are a couple of surgeons here locally that do the surgeries for the cochlear implants. And then Dr. Madison Sakhan and myself, we perform the mapping of the cochlear implant processor.
Madison, tell us more about this mapping.
After a patient is implanted, they have to wait anywhere between 2 weeks to a month to kind of for the healing process. After that waiting period, we then bring them in for what's called initial activation. And that's when we actually turn the implant on and the patient begins to hear sound for the first time with their implant. And there's a couple mapping sessions in the first year. You know, we see a patient a month after they're implanted, you know, a month after we turn it on, 2 months later, 3 months later, 6 months later. And the mapping is just the adjustment of the amount of electrical stimulation required to elicit sound and a good sound quality for the patient. We're always checking to make sure that sound is not uncomfortably loud for the patient and that soft sounds are audible. That's the main goal of the mapping process.
There's a range, but you have to be very precise within that range depending on the patient.
Yes, that is true. That is very true. Success with the implant relies heavily on the audiologist's ability to map appropriately.
And Alan, that brings us to you. You have been helped by this very technology. Tell us more about how you were struggling before this.
I started having hearing loss back in the mid-90s and around 2000, 2005, finally decided I had to do something, got mapped out and had a set of hearing aids. The hearing aids themselves, right off the bat, they were great. And then it just got to where it got worse and worse, and we kept trying to work with it. A new set of hearing aids came out that I purchased. And again, it started out well, and then it just, over time, went downhill. And there was nothing I could do to make it better. It wasn't Johnson, but or my audiologist could do. We tried every type of mapping and everything else we could do. I went to see Dr. Lenning for an unrelated problem. I thought I just had some water in the ear. And they did a hearing test. And he said that you look like you could be a candidate for the cochlear implant. My entire career has been in diagnostic imaging, and I never would have imagined that I would have been a candidate for cochlear. We went through the initial process to see if I was a candidate, came over here and they did a hearing test, and my hearing comprehension was very poor. And this all happened right at COVID and all the problems there. So all outpatient surgeries got set back. I was finally able to have the surgery on May 5th, June 5th. Dr. Sakhan set me up for my activation. And from there, it's just been a journey. Started out hearing nothing but beeps and whistles. But by the time that Dr. Sakhan finished my first mapping, just setting up the very baseline, at the end of the session, she asked me a question of what my favorite food was, understood it perfectly. It's just been a roller coaster from there on. I'm now talking on the phone again that I hadn't done in years. I'm getting back out in public where you just get tired of telling people you can't hear them. You know, I'm sorry, would you repeat yourself? It's just been a wild ride. It really has. I've loved every minute of it.
And we're doing a Zoom interview with you and Megan and Madison. You wouldn't have thought that possible 9 months ago.
No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have agreed to it. I would never have imagined that this could have happened. I am supposedly a candidate where I could have the second implant, but Madison introduced me to a hearing aid called Resound. It pairs with my implant. So after I was initially implanted, everything I heard was from my left side. You could slam a door to my right and I would hear it in my left ear. With the Resound hearing aid that I now have, everything is in stereo. She's balanced the sound to where it's in the center of my head. Like I say, talking on the phone, the implant pairs with my telephone. So I have my sound actually turned off on my phone. And when it rings, I just answer it and talk away. But nobody else even has any. It's in my pocket, as a matter of fact. I have a streamer for my television that pairs to the implants. I can turn the volume as low as possible on the television, yet I'm hearing it just as plain as if I'm sitting there with normal volume, which makes my wife happy. I used to have the television turned up so loud that it just, you know. Mm-hmm. I also have a mini microphone that you can put on somebody's collar and they can walk away from you, but it pairs up. So I hear that. It's just been an amazing journey. It truly is. I'm now listening to music.
Megan and Madison, we should talk about the process for cochlear implant candidacy.
The first step is having a very thorough diagnostic cochlear implant evaluation. So it's more in depth than just a normal hearing evaluation. And we want to test you without hearing aids, but also we want to test you in the best aided condition. So with hearing aids that are set to match real ear targets, and you're tested in a soundproof booth, and then those scores help determine the candidacy.
Yes, when we're thinking about cochlear implant candidacy, you're not just looking at, you know, what sounds can this person hear? What does their audiogram, which is their hearing test, say? We really, really are looking at what is their ability to repeat words, not only in a quiet situation, but in a situation where there's noise. And when they wear their hearing aids, the newest technology hearing aid set appropriately, how are they doing? And that's what we base our candidacy on, is this person performing well enough with hearing aids? Are they getting enough benefit in their life? And if they're not, and they meet certain criteria laid out by the FDA and the manufacturer, as well as insurance, then we know that a cochlear implant might be the option for them, because they'll likely receive more benefit from the implant than they are their hearing aids, as was the case for Mr. Hunt.
So the first step is to either schedule an appointment with an audiologist that is going to do that detailed cochlear implant evaluation, or like Mr. Hunt, he actually went to the surgeon first and then the surgeon referred him for further testing. Should Mr. Hunt have come here first and we determined that, yes, he is a good candidate, we would have then in turn referred him to Dr. Laney for the surgical evaluation. So they have to be a candidate audiologically, but also surgically. So you can't just decide, oh, I'm hearing aids, quote, don't work for me, I want to get an implant. You have to meet the criteria, like Madison said, set by FDA, insurance, and the cochlear implant manufacturers.
Tell us more about the online seminar.
The online seminar is going to be held October 22nd at 3:30 p.m. Participants will be able to attend online. You need a strong internet connection, is recommended to ensure the best experience. If you would like to visit cochlear.com/US/events, and you can search by the event date, you click on the event name and complete the registration. Registrants will receive an email with instructions on how to join the meeting online.
All right. Megan, Madison, Alan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.